From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 15th day of February 2011. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities. He's in Newmarket, Indiana. And Mike Barwinski, a senior trader from Louis-Dreyfus Commodities, will join us to take up the energy markets. In agricultural news, President Obama is pushing for a lower direct payment limit cap, down 10 grand. And a new proposal from the European Commission would allow its member states to ban the cultivation of GMO crops for a whole host of non-scientific reasons. Dave Dickey will have details of these and other stories shortly. Also in this half hour, we'll hear how agricultural economist Darrell Good sees the acreage battle in the United States. And in just 26 minutes, meteorologist Don Day will be here to look at the agricultural weather forecast on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
In Chicago on this Tuesday afternoon, futures finished lower. The nearby March contract down 31¾ cents in the soft red winter wheat at $8.40¼ a bushel. May at $8.72¼, 31¾ lower, and July wheat at $9 even, down 31 cents. Hard red in Kansas City down 33½ in its lead option at $9.43½. March corn futures, $6.90½, down 5¼. The May at $7.05, 5½ lower. July at $7.04¼, down 7. September at $6.40½, 11¾ lower. And December futures for the corn, $5.91½ a bushel, a loss today of 16 cents for December corn. March soybean futures at $13.68, down 34¾. May at $13.81¼, 34¾ lower. July at $13.88½, down 35 cents. August at $13.70½, down 33½. And November beans at $13.32¾, down 32¾ of a cent. $3.66.60 at $8.90, the final settlement price for the March bean meal. Oil at $56.54, down $1.15 for the day. February live cattle at $1.09 and a nickel, down 15 cents. The March feeders at $128.52½ were up 15 for the day. And the April lean hogs on 100 pounds finished at $92.55, a dime higher. You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Tuesday afternoon. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures March contract, $84.39 a barrel, down 42 cents. Ethanol at $2.44¼¢, 0.4¢, that is, down 0.3¢. And the natural gas at $3.97¢, down a nickel, or rather up a nickel and 0.4¢. Heating oil or diesel fuel, down a penny and 0.9¢ at $2.73, and the gold futures for the day at $1,373.60 an ounce, up $9. Dow Jones Industrial Average at 12,215, down just about 53 points. The dollar now at 78.57, down 0.03, and the CRB index at 336.29 is down 2.38 on the day. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area. They say this afternoon should see partly sunny skies, mostly gray out there at the moment. The high near 45 degrees, south-southeast winds about 16 miles an hour. They'll gust as high as 23 miles an hour. Tonight, areas of drizzle after midnight, areas of fog after midnight, otherwise mostly cloudy. A low of 37 degrees, southwest winds between 10 and 14. They'll gust as high as 17. Wednesday night, a chance of drizzle, mostly cloudy, a high near 54 degrees. That's right, 54 on Wednesday. South-southwest winds between 10 and 13. They'll gust as high as 16. And then Wednesday night, more drizzle, a bit of fog, otherwise mostly cloudy, a low of 48 degrees. That's a right, a low of just 48 degrees, southwest winds at 13 to 16, and they'll gust as high as 23. And then by the time we get to Thursday, should be mostly cloudy, a high near 60 degrees, breezy, south-southwest winds between 16 and 20, gusting all the way to 29. And Thursday night, a 30% chance of showers, mostly cloudy and breezy, a low of just 50 degrees. More on the agricultural weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour and talk with Don Day of Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Tuesday afternoon. On the phone line with us to take up the agricultural futures markets, as he usually is, Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities from New Market, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
I bet you had a busy day talking to producers about the drop in the marketplace.
You know, the phones were very, very busy today. A lot of concern about what's happening. We have to begin to think a little bit that at these levels that a dime move isn't quite what a dime move used to be, because it's percentage-wise is half what it used to be. But still very troubling day when you see the markets move this much, and everybody wants to know why.
Yeah, and what'd you tell them?
Well, first off, we did see some cancellations or switching of beans from the U.S. out of to South America, which happens this time most every year, that the bean harvest is progressing. It's between 9 and 10% done in Brazil, and the Brazilian farmers are over 50% sold of the crop out there in the field compared to about 27% last year, and that means that those are available to be loaded and shipped out, and they're going to market right away. So that's one thing that's going on, and also that the production in Brazil keeps, the production figures keep going up on the estimates, probably to a new record high, and all those things put together put for a little bit lower day. Not as hard lower as it ended up being, but we thought that that would be a lower start to the day because of that.
You think it'll have much of a long-term impact on what happens in Chicago and how the planting intentions report goes here in the United States?
Well, we dropped about the same percentage in new crop corn as we did in new crop beans as far as percentage of value per crop. Looking at, down 15 and down about 33 is, you're a little over 2.1%, right. 2-to-1 ratio like that. So we left it about the same. But as we look at it, there's been an advantage to corn to plant, and today really didn't change that. It left it in corn because the percentage in the price of beans went down, just as much as the percentage of the corn price went down. So it's just a troubling thing here that maybe we left 80 to 90 cents on the table if this is actually going to be the high for a while and we don't have some weather problems that cause us to move back up.
Did you get much of a chance to take a look at yesterday's numbers that came out from USDA on their baseline? These would be predictions that would have been made using end-of-the-year data from 2010.
We did, and one of the other things that was a little bit troublesome to a lot of the analysts was that, we jumped up and we're going to have about 10 million more acres planted than last year. The corn acreage jumping from an 88.2 to 92 million acres. We're seeing the bean acres jump up about a million acres. Basically, 10 million acres shift and additional acres planted. And there's a lot of people wondering, where did all these acres come from? And part of that came from prevented planting, failed crop, and whatever from last year. And from the high to low time period, I think that we do see somewhere between 8 and 10 million acre shift of acres planted on years where we can get everything planted and looking good, and years where we have trouble, like we did last year, getting the all the fields planted.
As you do the numbers, do you think that USDA's, and the USDA numbers come from the end of the year, so the question is the 3.8 million in corn acres enough? Is 92 million total for the coming year enough? And does the marketplace have work yet to do? Did it already do that work? Has it attracted more or less acres at this point?
Well, from when they actually put these numbers together, we've done a lot of work as far as the corn has done, and we've enticed people, but I think they were overly optimistic at the point in time they put these numbers together. I think we could be up towards, most people aren't even up to the 92 yet. A lot of them are saying 91 million acres of corn right now. I think that a lot of the analysts, I think including Daryl, are saying they would really like to see at least 93 million acres of corn to get the balance sheets back in line to where we can use all the corn we need for ethanol, feed our livestock, and the rest of the world's feedstocks get back in line. So, you know, are we really there yet? We're probably in that 91 to 91.5 bracket right now. We need to still do a little bit convincing, but right now it is, you know, when we put all the numbers down on paper, it is still a little bit advantageous to plant corn over beans, Tom.
A bit later in the program, we'll hear from Daryl, and I think there are two important parts to that discussion, and we'll let him say it in his own words part of the time, but over the acreage battle is that in order to attract the 10 million extra acres, that the price of grains and oil seeds and all of the eight major crops has to stay high across the board first. And then, of course, it's the ratio or the difference between those prices. And so that's that 2.1 that we're using on soybeans. Do you think that's right, or do we need to widen or to narrow that out so it's 2-1 or something like that for corn and beans?
Well, I think that we're going to be looking at, you know, what's there. You know, one of the big things that's running and grabbing at least a million more acres or more is cotton because it's so high in comparison. It's coming back into the mix quite heavily. You know, the wheat, a lot of those, because we'll get some bean acres and double crop from the wheat acres that are there. We'll probably pick up some acres of failed wheat that will go into corn or beans along the way as we go there too, Todd. So, but I mean, at the level price levels we're looking at for all the crops now, it should entice most acres back into production that aren't tied up either in development or hay. You know, we might see some hay acres come out because of the livestock situation. But all in all, it's going to entice those acres that are laying there that we didn't get planted last year if we have the spring that makes it available to plant them.
We appreciate you taking the time with us today.
Thanks, Todd.
Mm-hmm. Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That happens each and every Tuesday afternoon. A couple of notes. Please do get yourself on the phone line if you'd like and give us a call because there aren't that many tickets left for our all-day agricultural outlook meeting. That comes up on the 8th day of March. I think the last number I heard said 68 were available. I doubt that that's still the case. Dave Dickey is here with more information on what you ought to be doing with that phone call.
The 21st annual All-Day Agricultural Outlook meeting is sure to attract a crowd. Among those presenting March 8th at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana, Murray Wise from Murray Wise Associates, Joe Vaklovic from MF Global, Roy Huckabee from the Lind Group, and Tom Fritz from EFG. Avoid the long registration line by calling 800-528-7980. The cost of the ticket is $20 and includes a continental breakfast and lunch. When you register with your major credit card, we'll mail your tickets good for our VIP line. The number to call is 800-528-7980.
Again, the number is 800-528-7980. Get your tickets for our All-Day Ag Outlook meeting scheduled for the 8th day of March. That's a Tuesday over at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. Dave will be back in a moment. He'll have the agricultural news for the afternoon.
In agricultural news, President Barack Obama is pushing for a cut in direct payments to larger farmers in his proposed federal budget for next year. But the White House also proposes to change the payments crop insurance companies receive for catastrophic crop insurance. The president's proposed budget would limit direct payments on larger farmers. The White House wants to reduce the cap on direct payments from $40,000 to $30,000, effectively 25%, while also lowering the income eligibility requirements for direct payments. USDA Secretary Tom Vilsack says that the proposed targeted cuts in direct payments would affect roughly 2% of farmers. In a new proposal, the European Commission today says that European Union member states could impose bans on the cultivation of bioengineered crops based on religious, philosophical, or ethical concerns, as well as those relating to maintaining public order. In addition, the EU executive body says that other reasons EU member states could ban GMO crop cultivation under the terms of a pending regulation include avoiding the presence of GE crops and other products in order to preserve organic and conventional farming systems. The U.S. Office of the Trade Representative is monitoring the proposal carefully. Reports in European media say that China has expressed an interest in building a major railroad in Colombia that would link that country's Atlantic and Pacific ports. Such a railroad, if properly designed and combined with upgraded port facilities and transfer infrastructure, could become an alternative to the Panama Canal. Chinese inflation hit a lower-than-forecast 4.9% in January, but price pressures, excluding food, were their strongest in at least a decade. Core inflation, stripped of food prices, jumped 2.6% year-on-year. Soaring global commodity costs pushed producer prices up 6.6% in the year to January, up from 5.9% in December. Food costs in China jumped by 10.3%. The president of the National Farmers Union says that Britain needs a national food plan that makes production a strategic priority and curbs its increasing reliance on imports. Peter Kendall told the NFU's annual conference that global food prices were at an all-time high and had played a role in major upheavals in North Africa. Kendall questioned the morality of rich countries such as Britain in allowing their own agriculture production to decline and expecting to be fed by the rest of the world. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. That's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, both of which you can find on our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. Now, up next, you know, the USDA has taken its first unofficial shot at predicting the number of acres to be planted by farmers this season. The major field crops will be up by about 10 million acres, according to the baseline. It's a number, as you'll hear, University of Illinois ag economist Darrell Good was already working with. The number of acres planted to the major crops in the United States fluctuates by about 10 million from top to bottom. Last year, 2010, U.S. farmers were on the bottom end of that range at 245.3 million acres planted to the eight major crops. This year, USDA predicted in its long-term baseline number that figure will grow by 10 million. Why? Well, there's really only one reason. Price has to be high enough to cause farmers to plant extra acres, says University of Illinois ag economist Darrell Good.
What we find historically is when we have generally high commodity prices across the board, we find a few more acres to plant. When prices moderate, planted acres tend to decline somewhat. And we're in a situation this year, I think, when we need every available acre to be planted to something. And I think that means that price level at the margin is important because it's the level of all commodity prices that will influence how much total acres gets planted.
So finding 10 million extra planted acres requires the price of all or most of the major commodities, corn, soybean, wheat, cotton, and four others, to all be high. Right now that is the case, and the battle is on to distribute those extra acres. So far, 3.7 million of the 10 have already been claimed by winter wheat. About 2 million of those will be double cropped into soybeans. That makes 5.7 million acres. Cotton producers say they'll use an extra 1.5 million. USDA says that number's bigger, actually 2 million. That's a total of 7.2 or 7.7 million claimed. It doesn't matter much because either way, USDA's or Darrell Good's, there aren't enough acres left to make the corn balance sheet work.
I think we need to be in that 4 to 5 million acre level, kind of back to that peak we saw in 2007, close to 93 million acres.
USDA has the corn number at 92 million acres for 2011, but that figure is based on some calculations made late last year. We'll know if the market has or is doing enough to attract that extra million acres of corn the U of I ag economist says is needed on the 31st of March when the prospective plantings report is released. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Tuesday afternoon. On the phone line with us to take a look at the agricultural energy markets today from his offices in Kansas City, Mike Barwinski. He's a trader with Louis Dreyfus. Good afternoon to you, Mike. How are you?
Good afternoon. I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing well, but I'm wondering how your ethanol plants are doing in this high price environment.
They have done better in the past, that's for sure, but you know, it's not so bad that we're looking at a shutdown situation. I think for plants that may have a higher debt payment or higher interest charges on their debt, it's going to be a little bit of a tighter environment here for the next 2 or 3 months.
You better explain something to me. It's not bad that we're looking at a shutdown situation. Who do you think shutting down?
I think some plants that just have a tight working capital situation are going to be the ones that have trouble. A lot of plants have been dealing mostly in the spot market. They've been selling their ethanol and buying their corn on a very short time period. So they haven't quite locked in the positive margins that other plants have.
How much online capacity do you think would be affected?
Not too much, actually. I would say, at most.
100 million gallon?
Yeah, about there. You know, I'd say two or three plants. The market has changed so substantially here in the last 2 years with consolidation and you bring in the Valeros and Flint Hills now owns plants and GPRE is expanding their growth that you don't worry quite as much about a massive loss in production like you did back when Verison went bankrupt.
Okay, so not much of a loss and just a bit of a fluctuation. Do you think the rest of them will continue at full capacity, or will they ratchet back?
I think so. As long as the margins are positive enough, I think some plants may look at taking their scheduled downtime at different times of the year. Perhaps during low margins environments, but I don't think it's going to quite change the production capacity. The one thing that is important to remember is that these small changes, a couple plants here or there. A little better increase in gasoline demand, and the balance sheet can change pretty dramatically, and you can get a shift in margins in about a 60 to 90 day time period.
All right, so you talk about scheduled downtime, and that's something we hear about in the oil business. That's kind of and I know that's pretty close, but do plants normally have a scheduled downtime, and how long is it?
It's usually just from our experience, it's usually twice a year. One time is, just sort of a shorter time, usually 1 to 2 days, and then another one that's, 3 to 4 days. So it usually goes on right before harvest. Plants get it out of the way around August or September before they start going into full swing.
Okay, thanks so much, Mike.
All right, thank you.
Mike Barwinski is with Louis Dreyfus. He's in Kansas City, joins us here on the Closing Market Report on a Tuesday afternoon to take up the agricultural energy market. You can, of course, hear that again if you'd like on our website. The address is WILLAG.org. Back in 2 minutes when we'll take a look at the weather forecast.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
It's National Gumdrop Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1758, Benjamin Jackson advertised mustard for sale for the first time in America. The advertisement was in the Philadelphia Chronicle, where Jackson claimed, quote, the original establisher of the mustard manufactory in America, and at present, the only manufacturer on the continent. Jackson claimed his mustard, packed in glass bottles, was, quote, not bitter when fresh made. In 1845, Robert Wood Johnson was born, an American manufacturer. He and his two brothers founded Johnson & Johnson Corporation to make surgical dressings. In 1809, Cyrus Hall McCormick was born, an American inventor. McCormick is credited with the development of the first mechanical reaper. To defend his patent against a competitor, he held a field trial in 1843 in which his machine was judged the better. He sold 29 harvesters that year, and 5 years later he had a factory in Chicago capable of manufacturing 500 reapers a year. And in 1903, Russian immigrants Morris and Rose Mitchum introduced the first teddy bear in the U.S., named after President Theodore Roosevelt, who, while bear hunting in Mississippi in 1902, spared the life of a bear cub orphaned during the hunt. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Tuesday afternoon. Be sure to visit our website. The address is WILLAG.org. There you'll find all the details of our Agricultural Outlook All Day program scheduled for the 8th day of March. Not too many tickets left for that. They're $20 a piece. Call this number right now to reserve yours, 800-528-7980. I'll give it to you again, 800-528-7980. On this Tuesday afternoon, we're joined, as we usually are, by Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. Good afternoon to you, Don.
Good afternoon.
Tell me about the weather forecast. Boy, it looks warm.
Yeah, boy, isn't everybody ready for some warmer temperatures? A good chunk of the nation enjoying a nice warm spell here, and it's going to last through the rest of the week, next week, and as we look ahead towards the end of the month, it's going to get colder again. Winter isn't over, but it's nice to get this break that we have now.
Well, colder, but probably not as bad as we've been, I suppose.
Doesn't look like it. There's still plenty of cold air in those northern latitudes, but at least at the moment, we don't see that severe cold that we had earlier in the month. But certainly, the prospects for getting back into some colder temperatures with some snow in some areas in the Midwest will be on the increase, especially the middle to the end of next week.
Since everybody's going to get the warm weather, then the snow probably will melt most places. Two things. I don't know that we have to worry too much about flooding, but there's an awful lot of snow out there. And then if we get enough of it gone, is the temperature, the cold temps that follow it, going to be a problem for any of the winter wheat-growing regions?
Probably not. We don't see the intense cold that we had in late January and early February with this next cool down. And some winter wheat areas did get a little bit of precipitation here over the last week to 10 days. We'll keep an eye on it, but right now I don't think we'll have the severity of the cold that would be a concern for those wheat areas.
Soybean harvest in South America has started. They're about 10% complete or something thereabouts. Will they be able to continue working in the next week?
Well, it looks like it, although wouldn't you know it, once they wanted to go back out in the fields and get some harvesting done, the rain chances are better for Argentina especially.
All right. Anything else we ought to be talking about before I let you go for the day?
Well, it looks like China's going to be looking at some pretty decent chances for precipitation. Australia's still wet, but more focused on the central and western area.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That is Don Day. He's with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report on a Tuesday afternoon. Let me take time now to thank all those folks who called in during our mini fund drive last weekend and over the couple of last days on Thursday, Friday of last week. We do appreciate it. We made it. We were looking to have more than 300 folks call in, raise a bit more than $30,000, and we did that job. You helped us out, and we do appreciate that. Thank you so very much for helping. Now, here's another way we're going to look to help you out. It's the All Day Ag Outlook meeting. It's scheduled for the 8th day of March over at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. This will be the 21st annual. $20 will reserve your ticket. Probably ought to reserve that today because I don't know that there'll be any left for those folks who want to walk in on that day. Less than 70 available the last time I checked, and I suppose that number is going down fairly substantially and fairly quickly. The number to call if you'd like to reserve your ticket right now is 528-7980. It's an 800 number, 800 888-528-7980. $20 gets you the whole package for the whole day, including your meal. And all of our market analysts, you can read all about it on our website at willag.org. That wraps up this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. You have a safe afternoon and a good afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.